Blog Talk Radio.
She was complaining that she couldn't listen to my fantastic introductions because they were just too loud for her. So, I don't know, I wrote something today that wasn't angry, didn't make me angry. It was something I was enthusiastic about. See, I'm screwing up already, but I want to keep it a little quieter just for her. I don't know if that's going to wreck my show, but maybe it'll be a little different. Anyway, what I'm going to tell you is this. About a month ago, you might not be interested, but about a month ago, I bought a Kobo Mini. Kobo Mini. That's an e-book reader that's 5 inches across. I think it's fantastic. I got to keep my voice down. It's fantastic. Sits in your pocket. It's easy to use. And it holds hundreds and hundreds of books in the future when people move from one house to another or one apartment to another. No one's going to have to worry about moving lots of heavy bookcases and box after box of books, and I just think this is fantastic. And one of the first books I'm reading on my new Kobo Mini is called Moonwalking with Einstein. Moonwalking with Einstein, and that's by a guy named Joshua Foer. He's a young journalist who got interested in memory championships. There's these memorization techniques that have been around. They've been in existence for about 2,500 years, but Josh, he just heard about them. And when he tried to use them, he didn't find them very easy. But one of the champions that he met at the contest urged him to keep going, urged him to press on. You know, he kept telling Josh, you don't have to have a good memory to be good at memorizing things. And a year after finding out about all this memory stuff, Josh won the big memory contest himself. And I find that interesting because a number of years ago, I myself was interested in these memory techniques, and I have a lot of books about them, okay? They're in some box somewhere, because I didn't find those techniques easy to use, so I gave up. But this guy, Josh, he proved that if you don't give up, you can actually get something done. And not only that, as I said, these techniques have been around for ages, for a very long time, but Josh wrote a book about his experience with them that put him at the top of the New York Times bestseller list. So it's possible to take a fresh look at something that isn't fresh at all. It's over 2,000 years old. Now, I'm only halfway through the book, but it's very different from the others I've read on the very same topic because he interviews all the champions, and they all say again and again, anyone can do what they do. And Josh himself is telling you all the time that he didn't find this easy at first, and yet we know he became a champion. So I don't know how you can use it in recruiting, except if you're working on a job that you're not already familiar with, then you could read up about it and remember everything you read, and you know that can help you sound like you actually know something when you don't. But I don't think many people are going to take advantage of these techniques because you have to put as much practice into learning them as you would learning to play the piano or getting into good physical condition. And we know people don't like to do that unless we force them. And I myself have found that it's hard to force anyone to do anything on Jerry Jarrett. What show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show.
Everybody.
Oh, I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Welcome back to the world of William Tincup and robo-tweets.
Robo-tweets, yes. Yes, indeed.
Did you have a good time living the manly life out in the wilderness?
Oh, I had a great time. It's always good to just kind of unplug and, well, William Tinkup and I, you know, we both know how to just unplug.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Really simmer down to just your Autobots and auto tweets. And,
yeah, no, no.
You
Jerry,
know, it's refreshing for both of us.
I looked for your old tweets, and I kept posting you so people wouldn't forget you. Now, Jerry, you know, our good friend Bill Borman was scheduled
Bill
to
Borman.
Be the guest today.
Bill Borman or Bill Borman 2?
They're both the same guy. He booked this show himself, but yesterday I tracked him down because he was incommunicado, and
mm-hmm.
he said, Animal, I'm not coming. I'm going to be on a plane during your show. And you know what, Jerry? That's the exact
what?
Same thing that happened the first time he was scheduled to be on. I said, where are you, Bill? Oh, I'm on a plane on the way to Dublin.
He traveled?
So, you know, yeah, people claim that the world, this is my lesson. People claim the world is changing so fast, we can't keep up with it. But the world is not changing as fast as they say. Bill Borman's not changing. Bill
no
Borman
way.
Isn't changing at all, you know. But you know what? We got a new guest anyway. He owns a job board. And listen to the name of the job board. All jobs suck. That's CEO.
You know, I spotted that too. I thought, all jobs suck? That's
yeah.
That's an odd.
That? Stephen O'Donnell, are you here? I hope he's here.
Oh, no.
I opened it. Okay, hold on. No, it's closed again. These things mute. They mute naturally
Hello?
On their own. Steve O'Donnell!
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hey!
Hey!
Jerry, you don't sound very enthusiastic.
Hey! How are you doing, man?
Yeah!
Give me a yeehaw.
How's that?
Steve, I want to thank you for stepping in to rescue the show today from Bill Borman, okay?
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Thank
okay,
you.
Update.
He's
on a plane to Crete.
Okay.
Bill's on his holidays.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, why did he book the show? Okay. Ask me that. Answer me that. Okay. Mm. Now, Stephen O'Donnell, before I introduce you, you actually picked a song and you said you're going to sing. You shouldn't
I'll,
be all
I'll
night
sing.
Long. Yeah,
I'll
okay,
sing if
now,
I'm not singing on my own.
You're not. I'm going to sing with you, but
okay.
I have to tell everyone, you were in a rock band, and Jerry was the lead singer in a rock band. This is his specialty. He's going to lead us through the first verse and the chorus.
Yeah, but I was the drummer, remember.
Oh.
Yeah, the drummer sings. Dave Clark sang. There's drummers.
Yeah.
Who sing.
Drummers don't sing, dude.
That's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah,
okay,
he
picked the song, Jerry. Come on, but you're going to be the lead, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You're
so the drummer picks one of the toughest voices to actually get. See, when I sing, I like to sound just like the album.
You sing, Jerry, and I'll harmonize.
I'm not the guest here.
No. Okay, then he'll lead. You lead us,
okay.
Steve. You say 1, 2, 3, and you start. We'll join in.
Is there going to be music?
No, it's just us.
Okay, right, we're ready then?
Yeah.
Right, 1, 2, 3. She was a
She
was the best.
She was the best
woman
that I ever
seen.
She had silent
eyes
telling
me
no lies. Knocking me out with those American guns. She had more than a share. Had me fighting for air.
She
Jerry,
told me to come,
but I was already there.
The walls started shaking.
The earth was quaking, my mind was aching, and we were making it. You shook me all night long. Now, yeah,
you
shook me all night long.
Jerry's betrayed us. I mean, he was singing for me before we got on the air. He can do this like the guy from the group.
Yeah, but only Jerry. in a controlled studio environment.
That's not true. You did it on the phone. You shook me. Okay? You betrayed me just now. You betrayed the show, everybody.
Yes, I did.
Want you to know.
Did Jerry
you
only get 50%
you're lucky to have me here.
You should have been singing like that, okay? Yeah!
Jerry, did you phone it in, Jerry?
Okay, I'm going to introduce the guest. Do you have an elevator speech?
Yeah, fire away. Oh, sorry,
no,
you want me to pitch in?
Do you have an elevator speech?
my elevator speech is this. I've been in recruitment for 26 years. Most of that time owning and running recruitment companies. I started not a job board, but a portal. All Jobs Suck, as you say, or All Jobs UK, as we might say over here, which was basically a directory of every recruitment resource in the UK, agencies, employers, recruiters, job boards, the whole thing. And the year after, launched the National Online Recruitment Awards, which is now in the 13th year. I sold All Jobs Suck in 2007, and the company that bought it, I worked with them until April this year, when I left to start up PC Evaluate, which is a business selling personality profiling to employers.
Okay. First story. Your client's brother-in-law. That's a great story. You placed your client. You had a job order, and you placed the guy's own brother-in-law with him and got paid for it, right?
Mm. I did. Well, you know whenever you phone a client and you put forward a candidate and say, oh, yeah, we know that candidate already. Don't bother with him. He's covered. And sometimes you believe them. Sometimes you don't believe them. But in this instance, I spoke to the candidate about this design engineer job. And he loved the sound of the job. But when I told him the company, he said, hold on a second, that's my brother-in-law's company. I go for play golf with him every Saturday morning. I wouldn't want to go for that job, but, you know, what if I don't get it? What if he doesn't want me? Any number of things. So, you know, don't put me forward. And I said, well, look, is it a great job or not? He said, it's a great job. It's a great company. I wouldn't mind working there, but I definitely would not want to be rejected from there. So I said, well, let me speak to the company. And without saying your name, ask in principle, would they want to talk about it? So I spoke to the employer and said, look, I've got this guy up front. You know who he is. But no way is he going to apply for this job otherwise. But he's very interesting. I think he's bang on. I think he's perfect. But I won't tell you until you say, okay, I'll pay your fee. So after a bit of back and forward, he's trying to think who it is. He said, okay, right, tell me who it is. And I said, well, you're not going to believe it. It's your brother-in-law. And after he started kicking himself, he said, oh, for crying out loud, why didn't he just say? And I said, well, you know, it would be awkward. Would you have considered him for the job? And he said, well, no, I wouldn't, because I'm married to his sister. And, you know, that's kind of awkward. And I said, well, how about if he's good for the job? And actually, they both used to work in another company years before, which is how they knew each other. How about one of your colleagues interviews him? And if he gets the job, great. And if he doesn't, then you never speak of it again. That's what we did. The guy got the job. I got the fee. I gave him a bit of a discount. And everyone was happy.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you have? Do you have any advice for people who are calling?
Yeah, first of all, that was a great story.
Thank you very much.
I loved it. Loved it.
Well, the
non-singing rock star. Yeah. Sorry. Here's my
question
for you.
The lesson from it really is this. Yeah, go on.
There's a problem today with people calling up companies and presenting somebody who's really good. And a company says, oh, we've got him in our system. They've got him lost in their ATS until you wake them up that the person exists. What should that kind of recruiter do? You actually place the person's relative, close relative.
Yeah.
I mean,
what you've got to remember is in recruitment you're selling information, and information is like milk. It goes off, and it's only valuable, you know, for a certain amount of time, up to the sell-by date. So in that instance, that bit of information is valuable. But if they don't have that information, then that's the only leverage that you have. So you need to say to them, look, I've got this candidate. He is perfect. He may well be in your talent pool. He may well be someone you've interviewed before, but he's not someone that you're considering right now, and I think he's bang on. I think you've missed him.
No, but you don't know. In this case,
is
you
this
were
the
told
same story?
By the candidate.
Yeah.
What?
Well, if I've spoken to the candidate already, then I'll be asking the candidate, have you ever applied to this company before? Have you been considered for this company before? Has any other agency put you forward for this job before? So I try and make sure that I know my ground before I speak to the client.
Let me make the point. You always have to ask the candidate, have you ever applied for any position at this company in the past?
Yeah.
And what if they say no because they want you to go ahead with them and they think you're going to pull away if they've had a relationship with them before?
Which they do frequently.
Well, what often happens, to be honest, is that candidates know full well that three agencies are putting them forward for the same job, and they think they think somehow one of them is going to get them the interview. But what often happens is the candidate looks bad because he's getting put forward by three different people. So whenever I send candidates forward, I like to get them to confirm to me that I'm their agent acting on their behalf, that I've got the permission. Because in the UK, I'm sure the laws in the States might be slightly different, but in the UK, you are obliged legally to have a clear permission from the candidate to act as their agent. You know, if you're a recruitment agency, you're acting as the agent of the candidate, even though the employer pays you. So if you've got their confirmation that you're acting on their behalf, it doesn't matter if you sent in the CV second or third or tenth, you're the official agent for the candidate. Now, they may well have done the same for several agencies, in which case they're a complete schmuck, and you really don't want to be working with them. But you do all you can do.
Hey, Animal, real quick, I just need to tell all of my fans on Twitter that are saying, hey, welcome back, Jerry. Thanks for having me back, everybody. I've missed several of you, but not all.
Okay.
There you go.
You know what, Jerry? Not everybody missed you either, okay?
Hey! I don't need this, man.
Okay. Yeah, go back in the woods. Okay, now look, you've got something that really got bee in your bonnet. I was looking for a nice way to say it. You think that recruiters, at least in the Scotland and the United Kingdom, you think recruiters are wrecking job boards. Is that right?
I do think they are. I think they're vandalizing job boards, and job boards are not only allowing it, but they're encouraging it. Because what a job board sells is the content. The candidates are the customers. Again, like with agencies and employers, the candidates are the customers, even though the employer is paying the bill. But the candidates are the people coming through the shop front, and the candidates are seeing, frankly, rubbish on the shelves. They're not impressed with what they see. They're being frustrated.
I can say it better than you, okay? If you go to Amazon, you see all kinds of interesting books there, and they keep shoving others in your face. They say, hey, maybe you'd like to look at this. But when you go to a job board, according to you, the company name isn't listed. You say the location's not listed. The salary's not listed. The name of the recruiter who you want to deal with is not listed. You said it's like going to Amazon and there's a lot of dull, unpriced products there with no links to other items. That's how you describe it. Okay?
Yeah.
But how's that going to be? Go ahead.
Well, a job advert can sit on its own. It's a little island, and there's no connection to anything else that might be related. You could have related jobs at the bottom, but job boards can be smarter than that. You know when people go on to whether it's eBay or Amazon or YouTube, and they'll sit there for hours linking from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. They could, in theory, be doing that in job boards, but job boards, because of the fact that they allow for poor job adverts, very little information on them, no detail on who the employer is, they don't have the details in order to profile jobs properly and link candidates from one to the next. A candidate wants to know, if I was an accountant in Manchester, frankly, I'd like a list of all the accountancy jobs in Manchester put in front of me, not some of them. All of them.
Listen to me, okay? First of all, I don't want, if I'm paying for an ad, I don't want you to use my ad to link to all other people's ads, although LinkedIn is doing that.
Actually, you do want that, because what happens is candidates are looking at other ads and come to yours.
Okay, so it's a quid pro quo, right? I mean, everybody
goes
shares
around.
That. Okay, now the other thing is, if you list, you claim that everybody knows the client's name anyway, the company, the employer's name. That's not true. Go ahead.
Recruitment companies mostly, not in all cases, but mostly know who their competitors are recruiting for. So when you don't name the employer that you're advertising, you're only keeping that information from the candidates. You're not keeping it from your competitors because they're probably working on the same jobs anyway. And they're paying close attention to whatever you're advertising, and they can work it out. I used to work in a particular niche, which was plastic injection molded manufacturing in Scotland. And every company in that sector I recruited for. So if any other agency at all advertised in that sector, then I would phone them up as a candidate and ask about the job. And they wouldn't tell me the name of the company, but they'd tell me enough that I knew who it was with. So I wanted to make sure that I had all the information. And I would expect every recruiter does the same thing with their competitors. You know, if you're a recruiter, there's at least 2, 3, 4 guys or girls that you're coming up against on a regular basis, especially in contingency recruitment. So they know who your clients are. You know who their clients are. And, you know, you want to win their clients from them.
Okay, hold on. So if you put your clients up, what about the candidates? If you don't keep the name from the candidate will try to go around you and go directly to the company. Don't you think so?
Well, that's the problem if you've got a bad relationship or a very weak relationship with your client.
And most candidates really don't have the wherewithal to put some strategy of going behind your back together.
Yeah,
so
you can imagine.
You can't live with the fear of loss. You have to have a fighting to win mentality and let all that other stuff. It's secondary. You're encumbered with fear, animal.
I know that you like facts and stats, animal.
Wait a second, guest. Hold on, I'll let you talk. Jerry has gone on many times telling us that you cannot tell someone on a cold call who your client is. That's bad.
Of course.
Okay?
Of course. You don't call up and say, hey, I'm recruiting for GM in Southfield, Michigan. They need an engineer. Are you interested? And
no,
that's
no,
what
no.
Maureen Sherib suggests you do.
Yeah, okay.
Steve is saying the same thing, and you're agreeing with him. You're saying, don't be scared, animal. Put your name out there
I am saying don't be scared, and I'm also saying don't be stupid.
Yeah. What I'm saying,
are you saying the guest is stupid? No, I'm saying you don't call up somebody
and say, I'm recruiting for GM in Southfield. You don't do that.
Yeah.
Now, once you're into the conversation and they're like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Who is it? I'll go ahead and tell them.
Yeah,
they're not gonna be prepared to find the hiring manager and connect with them. They know that you're the way in.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, and a cold call at that with a candidate, you want to reel them in. You want, you know, a bit like fishing. You want to reel them in carefully and gently because you've called them cold out of the blue, and you don't want to blurt it all out straight away. So you want to take the temperature. But in a job advert, wherever possible, then you should name the client. The reason for that is that, and I know you like your stats, I know that dependent on circumstance and dependent on the rest of the job, you'll get on average 2 to 4 times the number of applications to a job where you name the employer. Anonymous job adverts just don't get the applications. They just don't, or they get irrelevant applications, and you're going to be a bit frustrated like mad with the shed load of irrelevant applications you get. So naming the client gets more and gets better quality applications.
Okay, and you're saying you should post a salary as well.
Wherever you can, absolutely.
The carpet cleaners are here. I'll be back in 5.
Okay.
But carry on, gentlemen. Carry on.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry.
In plenty of instances, the employer is coy about naming the salary. Where at all possible, you want to encourage them to say, well, I want to encourage people to apply. I want to give a band that's going to attract people. If you don't see the name, the number of a salary, then you might assume that it's paying too little. And if it is paying too little, do you want them to apply? Where at all possible, put the salary in.
Well, what do you put in if there's a range, the high end or the low end or the full range? How do you do it?
Well, agree with the client. First of all, you can't do it without the client's okay. But agree with the client. What are they willing to go to and put the range? Now, you know full well that when candidates look at a job that's paying, say, £50,000 or, $100,000, the candidate's thinking, yeah, I can talk them up 10 grand more than that. I'm maybe not as good as they want, but I'm a bargain. So, I can come and start for a little bit less than that. So candidates are already doing that. So it's fine to name the range. Absolutely fine to name the range.
Does anybody have a comment on this? It's kind of shocking to me. Put the salary in the ad. Anybody? There's lots of people on the line.
I think the salary range is a good thing, Animal. It eliminates the people that are too low and the people that are too high.
Is this Rebecca?
Yes, it's Rebecca. Sorry.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I don't see a problem putting a salary range in. And I don't see a problem telling the candidate who the client is, especially if you're in a niche market. They're going to know who you are, and they're going to know who your client is as soon as you open your mouth.
Rebecca, you didn't tell me you were here. Do your ad.
Sorry. I am really – I'm. How do I even do my ad? I'm sorry, Animal.
Hi, everybody. My name's Rebecca Sargent. You can find me on Twitter at R-E-B-E-C-C-A-S-A-R-G-E-A-N-T, Rebecca Sargent with an E. Now,
hi,
here's
Rebecca.
What I want to tell you about.
Hi.
I'm doing a webinar. That's what you're doing, right?
Yes.
My webinar is called
Building Business and Marketing Candidates.
And what's it about?
It's about building more business through taking the candidates your clients don't hire and marketing them out to new clients.
Okay, and you're telling people how to do that?
Yes, we're giving a course on it. The course is a 4-hour webinar, and then we come back together 2 weeks later to make sure you've implemented what we've trained and getting your success stories.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, this past Monday we just did a review with a class of business owners, and one business owner drove 10 new job orders to the bottom line, and another gentleman closed with one candidate, one interview, $25,000 in brand new business.
It takes 4 hours to teach someone how to market a candidate?
Yes.
Really? Okay. So do you want to tell us the price, or should they go to a website, or how should they find out about that?
They can tweet me, or they can go to my website, which is recruiterscoach.com.
Recruiterscoach.com. Sounds like you had trouble remembering that. Okay. What's the date for that webinar again?
The next webinar is August 16th, and that's open to everybody.
What time?
12 Eastern to 4 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
Nope. That's it.
Can I chip in there, Animal?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Can I chip in there?
It
just reminded me of something I used to do with with employers, especially with other agencies submitting candidates. I would ask if I could send out their rejection letters on their behalf to everyone who didn't get the job, which of course would include all the candidates from other agencies who were unsuccessful. That way I was able to start a relationship with those candidates.
That's sneaky, isn't it, Rebecca?
I think it's great. Okay. I always offer to also review candidates that they've discounted.
Hmm.
That's the other thing I do.
What do you
really?
Do? How do you do that? You have to go to the webinar to find that. Is it part of the webinar?
Yeah.
Yep, it is. You know what? I know you're not a shy person. How come I can barely hear you now? Speak up. This is your time. Okay?
I think recruiters leave a lot of things on the table that we should be doing for our clients, you know, showing them how our interview process works, teaching them how to interview, and then most certainly presenting candidates that they've overlooked. I had a client the other day who overlooked a candidate and ended up interviewing them. Now, the candidate wasn't a fit for the job, but was for a fit for another opening that they hadn't released yet. So, again.
Did you get paid for that?
Yes, I did.
Really? Even though you didn't submit that candidate?
The candidate had already submitted themselves, and the client had already rejected them.
Well,
and
you made it happen, so I think a fee is definitely due.
Yeah. And again, you have to be a partner to your clients.
Yeah.
Right? They have to let you represent them.
That's better than your brother-in-law's story. The guy already had the candidate in his hand, and she got paid? I don't believe you got a full fee for that.
I did.
Unbelievable.
I like the brother-in-law story better.
I do, too.
It's only
a smaller story, and I'm not trying to top anyone's story, but there was an instance where an employer had made a candidate redundant the year before, and I placed them back in the company.
Yeah, that's old news.
A boomerang candidate? I've never done it. I don't think I could get paid for it. I just don't know how you guys do those things.
Well, you got to try, Animal.
If you don't ask,
and he didn't tell you that client, when he presented the brother-in-law, he didn't just say, oh, isn't that interesting? The guy started swearing, right?
It was going mad.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, Rebecca. Call in any time and tell us about your webinars, okay? And prepare a little spiel. I mean, I helped you through it. I mean, I don't
How
mind,
much is it? Come on.
It's $375.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're
going
to make
it
back. By the time you have the follow-up meeting, you'll have made that money back. That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, I don't know. I just don't agree with you guys. You can put the salary in the job. Do you agree with that, Jerry? And
that
put the
I
salary
could.
In the job ad?
Yeah, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Oh, you actually do? You do it already. Okay.
First of all, I don't run a bunch of job ads.
Okay, you're sure you don't, Jerry. Sure you don't. You're,
let me
you're,
sure
you're,
I don't. I
do.
Don't.
Your buddies do. Your buddy Tom Guger was on the show. I have a memory, Jerry, and he told us all
so
the names of the
places. Now I'm supposed to talk about everything everybody I know does. God, where do you get off?
Okay, Stephen O'Donnell. Stephen O'Donnell, you've got three recommendations.
I see you're Steve there.
Yeah, you got. You know what? If George Bush, I told you, if he can call our Prime Minister, Prime Minister Steve, I can call you Steve all as well. You're not even the Prime Minister. Now,
George
look,
Bush said an awful lot of things I wouldn't agree with.
Yeah, okay. You've got three suggestions for job boards, how they can do the right thing, okay? Should I say them, or do you remember what you said?
Well, fire in if you like.
No,
I can,
it's better if you say it. You're the guest.
Okay.
They're your ideas.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want job boards to encourage agencies to stop or minimize the anonymous adverts. Anonymous adverts, as I was saying before, are filling the shelves of job boards with terrible
okay,
products.
Okay, let me say it.
So you think an agency that, say, is using Monster should put the name of their customer in the ad?
Yeah,
and
that's
the
absurd.
Where at all possible, it's not always possible. Where
that
possible,
is absurd. Patently absurd.
No, absolutely.
You were agreeing with him 5 minutes ago.
No, dude. Let's make sure we're setting the record straight. Once you're in a one-on-one engagement conversation with a candidate, of course you tell them the company name. You don't post on Monster.com the name of a company that's paying fees to agencies to fill a job. That's ridiculous.
Well, hold on a second. Now, I know that the balance of adverts in the American job boards is different, but in the UK, maybe 75%, a little bit more, of the volume of vacancies advertised are from recruitment companies. But, and not in every instance, most recruitment companies charge employers more per job ad per week than they do agencies. Agencies will pay typically, on average, say £10 per job ad per week. Employers might pay up to 10 times that much. I want job boards to stop overcharging employers and encourage more volume adverts from employers. Now, I'm very pro-agency, but I think that disparity.
Yeah, okay, let me cut, you know what, this is going on too long. I want to get off this topic. Jerry's gone schizophrenic. He argues one way 5 minutes ago and the exact opposite now.
No, dude, let me make sure that you understand. And if I knew Canadian, I'd translate it for you. But I don't. In English,
French.
Of course, you tell the candidate.
I heard you.
The
I
customer.
Heard you, okay.
You do not, in any postings out there, put the name of your company. Don't misconstrue my words.
But, Jerry,
okay,
you know this candidate that you're telling the name of the company to?
Yeah.
Do you think that candidate is speaking with any other recruitment agencies? When I interview candidates and I ask them who else have they been put forward to, do you know the first thing I do when I put the phone down? I call those companies.
Sure.
So
yeah, absolutely. However, I'm not going to run a job ad with, hey, I'm recruiting for company XYZ. You just don't do that. I can't believe that I'm even having to explain this.
Okay, now Steve says that when you do that, you get a lot better results. Not less results because people are going around you. He says you get better results from the market. You get the right people applying for the job. And here's his suggestions for job boards so they can be more like Amazon. He said they should give discounts to recruiters who post all those details. They should
Absolutely.
Put their jobs at the top of the page.
Yep.
And they should allow candidates to filter out anonymous ads. So when they come to the site, they can see the ads that have all that information in it. Those are your suggestions, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think they stack up.
Okay, you've got one related. I didn't plan on spending so much time on it. But you also see these agency owners are so stupid, they you know, if somebody's good in their niche market, a good recruiter, they become kind of famous and well-known, and the agency owner gets jealous. He or she wants their agency brand to be the superstar, not the recruiter who's doing the work. So they try to hide the name of the recruiter and never put it on the ad, when in fact, that's where it should be. It should be personalized. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, with LinkedIn, on LinkedIn, a recruiter can show off a bit. They can say, I'm a specialist in this field. I recruit for these companies, that company. I have been in the business for, you know, 15 years. I'm a member of this professional body and so on. There's nowhere else that the recruiter can show off that information. It's not on the agency's website. They can't put it anywhere on the job board. But when candidates are looking for a job as an engineer or an accountant or whatever, they want to find the best recruiter in that field. And if you're only looking for a job once every couple of years, you're not going to know. So how do you find that out? It's very difficult.
Okay.
I think there's a couple of reasons why they don't do it here. And with the unemployment rate, we don't want candidates calling the recruiters and distracting them. I agree with your position where the agency owner doesn't want the recruiter to be the superstar. They want their own brand to be there. But there is a distraction that comes from candidates knowing who you are and picking up the phone and calling you.
Well, but it's not a
secret. I'll take that distraction any day.
Every recruiter in the line is listed on LinkedIn. So it's not a secret. It's already out there, but the candidates aren't getting to find out. I want to be able to go to a recruitment agency website and say, I'm looking for a job in this sector, in that location. Who's your best recruiter? And give me his profile. But it's never there. Recruitment agencies are trying too often to pretend that they're gussied up job boards, when in actual fact their best attribute is the skilled recruiters with actual intimate knowledge of that industry sector in the field. You should be pushing that at the front the whole time.
Okay. You said you got another issue with the job boards. Some big advertisers, at least in the United Kingdom, they want to own the resumes that come in response to their ads. They don't want them going to a database that the job board owns and makes money off of. They want to own those resumes. It seems reasonable to me. You don't think so?
Well, no, I don't think so. But if an employer wants to do that themselves, then set up their own site. And you can get from various job boards, will give you the software to do that, so you own your own talent pool. Or you can get any of the talent pool companies that there are just now to do that. But if you're advertising on Monster, you're getting applications for you know, a variety of jobs, then the argument, and you could argue back and forth on both sides, is that those candidates applying to you, yet they're filling up that job board's CV database that they then sell on. So you're attracting candidates in, and they're then selling that product to other people.
You know what? On Twitter, I haven't checked because I'm so busy, but there's people thinking just because you're from the United Kingdom, you said that you're drunk already. They say maybe he's had a few pints because they disagree. So their way of disagreeing with you. Okay.
Now,
you're selling now personality assessments, inexpensive personality assessments. Now, I think everybody's talking about fit. If you can get a personality assessment that is accurate, and you say yours are 87% accurate, if you can get that done cheaply, that solves a lot of problems. So you actually posted your own personality profile. I went through it. I'm going to read everybody some of the stuff that was there.
You're going to read the bad stuff.
But yeah, it says, Stephen is a natural show-off. And you're not showing off that much here, let me tell you. But it says, Stephen is a natural show-off, maybe because Jerry's pushing you out of the spotlight. Stephen is a natural show-off and needs the attention of a responsive audience. He can be reluctant to share the limelight and may even take credit for other people's ideas. He's not a great listener. He can't bear to be around people who give off negative vibes. He will avoid painful situations and gloomy people if at all possible. He often needs to bounce ideas off others who think like him. He excludes
Nobody
people.
Likes a loner.
He excludes people. I'm almost done. Who are into details? He should realize that he might learn something by sharing his ideas with people who don't already think like him. He should realize that quiet people might have something valuable to say. Who'd hire you after reading that.
So, Animal, do you know any quiet people?
Do I know any? Yeah, they're my regular guests. They don't want to talk when they come on the show. Okay? In fact, you're much quieter than you were when we talked an hour ago. Okay?
Yeah,
before
okay.
The show.
Well,
you're,
of course, I've gone through. I've had a drink since then, of course.
Okay. Now, the thing is, it also, here's what I want to add. It says Steve can make friends very easily and is never shy at introducing himself to new people. So I assume you're a great networker. Am I right?
I like to work the room.
Yeah, how do you do that? Tell us, because I don't know. I don't know how to work a room.
Well, actually, if I'm honest, it's not an easy thing to do, but it's something that, you know, has to be done. So if I go into a room and there's 100 people and I don't know any of them, then, I will pause for a second and think, oh, bloody hell. But you just pick a target and go after them. If there's 3 people talking together, then just elbow your way in and start talking.
How tough can you remember a time you did that? It's a behavioral question.
Yeah, I do it at all the True Londons. At networking events. To be honest, these days there are more people in the room that I do know than I don't know, but the ones that I don't know are more interesting.
About a time you muscled your way into a conversation that 3 people were having already. I want to hear how you did it.
Well, often the case at the online recruitment awards, you'll have clusters of people who are sticking to their own crowd. And you'll get individuals that are standing alone waiting for someone to come along. Frankly, I know that if I go to the person on their own, then they'll welcome the chance to talk to someone and not look like an idiot standing on the side. But if you get 3 people standing talking together, then just be bigger. Go into the conversation, pick up a couple of words of what they're saying, blag it for a bit, and get talking, throw in your tuppence worth. You don't have to have pre-recorded lines or jokes or something that you're going to say. If you're a professional talker, and let's face it, everyone in this business is, then you should be able to just pick it up as you go along. It's not easy, and it's always awkward. And when you do the small talk thing for any amount of time, then it does get boring because you're going over the same ground again and again. But you know that you have to go through that to get to the good stuff.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you didn't tell us the exact story. You just gave the explanation of the general idea again.
But
when I'm doing it all the time, when it's as natural as breathing, then you're not going to be taking notes at the time. But, yeah, every event that I go to, there are people that I don't know, and I want to get to know them. Oh, I'll give you an actual instance. I was at a CIPD, Chartered Institute of Personal Development, show a couple of weeks ago in London. And I made a point of going to as many people in the room as possible that were either standing on their own, on a stand, sitting watching the seminars, and passing out the cards and pressing the flesh.
Yeah, okay, before we move off that, I just want to know, so how do you dump them once you started talking to them? You know, they're not all going to be interesting. How do you get away from them?
Ask them where the organizer is. Do you know where the organizer is? You know, where's Bill Boorman? Have you seen Bill Boorman? And you go over to another corner of the room.
So it's always
sometimes
a trick. It's always a trick. It's always a trick. Maren Hogan told us she always says, "Oh, I'm going to the washroom," right? So it's always a trick to get away from someone. It's never the truth. It's kind of a little.
But you know, the truth is absolutely fine. You can say, "Look, I want to meet as many people as possible. It's been great to see you. I'll catch you later on." And go and start mingling. Just say, "I'm going
to
mingle."
Animal thinks you're supposed to say, "Hey, this conversation sucks. I'm going to go talk to somebody better."
You're a loser.
You got to be smooth when you're out there, man.
Okay.
You just say, "Hey, man, nice talking to you. Catch up later."
Yeah.
And then slam your cocktail like you're obviously heading to get another one.
Yeah.
Steven was a recruiter. He owned a recruiting agency. Then he went into this job board business. Now he's pretty well dumped that to go into the personality assessment business. He's a restless, creative individual. And he believes that recruiter burnout is inevitable. Those were his words to me. You want to tell us something about that?
Yeah, well, it's rarely spoken about, but, you know, everyone knows about it, that Some people have a purple patch in recruitment. You know, they'll start off, they maybe do really well for a few years, and then suddenly they're not hitting the targets anymore, and they can't hit the targets anymore, and that might tie in with getting married, moving house, having kids, or just, you know, the job becomes dull to them. They've got other things to spend the time on. Often these people either get promoted, which means they've got a different set of targets, or they'll move into in-house recruitment, or they'll go and be an estate agent or a realtor or something like that. But it's a very real thing where recruitment can burn people out. Now, I love recruitment, and I'm just a natural nosy parker. I love interviewing candidates. Candidates are never boring.
No. You're an example of a guy. By burnout, you mean boring, and you're an example of a guy who was doing well in recruiting and moved on, and then moved on again, okay? You're a restless guy. You're like a job hopper. Don't tell us that you love interviewing candidates after you decided not to do it, okay?
But hold, you can't call me a job hopper. A job hopper is someone who changes job every year. I don't do that.
Okay.
I often find myself doing several things at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not going to take it back. It's true. The guy, he's a burnout himself. Burnout means boring. He's too restless to do it.
Okay. I'm washed up. That's what it is.
I didn't say you're washed up. Does anybody want to ask Steve a question? Any questions for Steve? You know, the guy's saying stuff that people are disagreeing with on Twitter. How come they can't raise their voices when they're here? Okay.
Maureen wants to know what you think of the royal family.
No, we're not interested in the royal family.
Maureen is.
She's part of your audience. The queen is the head of state here where I live. She's
remember,
my
they're
queen
animals, royal
just
family,
as
too.
Much as she's this guy's queen. So, you know what? I don't want to talk about her.
How about
okay?
that little baby a couple weeks ago, huh? Did that have you on the edge of the seat or what?
Yeah, it sure did.
I'm Scottish. I'm not big on the royal family.
Okay. But there was a merger. The guy, same guy, was the King of England and the King of Scotland. In fact, he's
Yeah, you're
of
right.
Scotland
Nobody
first.
Cares.
they're descended from James I of Scotland.
Yeah. Okay. Now, look. You're an extrovert. It became very clear in, you know, your profile there. But that doesn't mean you have to be extroverted to be a good recruiter. You can be someone who doesn't really like people and doesn't want to, you know, have long conversations with them, and you can still be a good recruiter, right?
Well, people often confuse the terms extroverted and introverted. An extrovert or an introvert is not necessarily a shy person. An introvert is someone who knows their own mind, who doesn't need to rely on other people as a sounding board. Now, yes, I am an extrovert because I like to ask other people what they think, and I'll make up my mind based on the information they give me. But an introvert can be just as loud, frankly, and determined in what they do. So an introvert can work well in recruitment, but it depends, to be honest, on the industry sector you're working in. That can work well in some areas and not so well in others. You know, in recruitment, typically you'll have people who will work on permanent professional placements and others who will work on temporary contractors, factory operators, that sort of thing, temporary admin staff and so on. It's not always the case, but it's often the case that these are totally different types of personalities, people who, in the temp side of things, these are people who are working all the time. They're kind of part social worker, part mother hen, and they're buzzing around their contractors the whole time, whereas your permanent recruitment people are much better at working on a project, following that through, getting it done, and then putting it in the bin. You know, they've done it, they've been there, they've moved on, and they might have 5 or 10 or 20 assignments working at the same time, but they don't have a contract that's been going for years. And, you know, they wouldn't be able to handle that sort of thing.
Okay, so you don't really believe in relational recruiting, whatever that might be. Recruiting is for someone who's working permanent positions, it's transactional. Is that right?
To be honest, so many folk have told me different definitions of transactional, and I'm not sure I've got a definitive one yet. But it's definitely the case that in different parts of recruitment, different personality types do very well. And in fact, going back to the personality profiling, some of the competitors of ours, their profiling is based on a system that sets out norms for certain job types. So they would say, if you're an accountant, this is the norm. This is the personality type that's always going to
take
you
should boring
be
me.
An accountant.
Hey, I'm going to get out of this conversation. You're boring me now, okay? And if you're boring me, trust me, you're boring my audience as well. Now, look, here's another issue. I read on your blog that in 1982, you applied to be a policeman, but they said you were too young, right? So you didn't become a cop. The thing is, you seem pretty smart to me. You know, I went to university. You seem as smart as anybody who was there. But you say, I wasn't likely to get the grades for university. Now, I don't know why that is, but what does that say? When I think you've obviously proved yourself to be a good businessman, a good salesperson, and we've got these companies advertising where they need or demanding a BA for their sales representatives. What sense does that make?
None whatsoever. It's great to ask for a degree, but of course these days, go back to 1982, and it was the exception that people had a college or a university degree. People were impressed here if you had a degree. Nowadays, they're disappointed if you don't. If you don't have a degree, then you must be a bit of a numbskull. Everyone has a degree. So I didn't get the grades to go to university, but I was at least as smart as all my friends who did. I just messed it up. Then had to go in a sales job, and it turns out I could sell.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you had a client, Jerry and I were arguing about this the other day, if you had a client who gave you a job order for a sales rep and said, this person has to have a degree, and you know from your own experience that's not a reasonable requirement, would you push back and challenge your client?
I would always push back on any boundaries at all that they set. Because, frankly, it makes my job easier. But they're the ones who are paying the bill. And if they say
have
a degree...
No, we're talking about reasonable pushing back, not just to make the job easier for you, but you're saying,
I
don't have a degree. Are you going to put me down? Don't you think I'm smart? Don't you think I could do the job? You're damn right I could. Look at how much money I've made, okay?
Well, I would be irrelevant to the argument, but I would have candidates who were good enough for the job that they should consider, and frankly I'd put those candidates forward, and I'd put them forward and say, this guy doesn't have a degree, but, and make the pitch.
Okay, and if they said no, would you how far would you go in pushing back at these guys?
Well, it's their job, it's only my job to match their spec, and I only need to find candidates who are good enough to interview. They get to decide who gets the job. So I don't need to find people who are good enough for the job, just people who are good enough for the interview. Because people who I don't think are great will get the job, and vice versa.
Okay. Okay.
Animal,
anybody
need to change your name to Badger.
I reckon.
You know what? I got to tell you something. This guy, Jerry, neither of you guys have university educations. I think you're both
clearly
very
not.
Smart. I think you're both very smart, and you're both very creative, okay? I know Jerry pretty well. And
I can
I
barely
like I
read.
Steve. Yeah, okay. The point is, if you're presenting someone like yourself and the client says, oh, that's no good, and you've made millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know
I've never said
idiot.
That. I have never said that.
I'm making it up. And the point is, you know this candidate could make money for that client. You're pretty sure of it. You're doing him or her a disservice if you don't press your case. And you're also doing yourself a disservice because you went out and found somebody good for that company, and they just want to slap you in the face. That is not right.
You can't take it personal.
Okay.
You can't take it personal. It's their job to make a mess of their own company or a success of their own company.
No, it's your person. You don't get paid unless they hire the good people from you if they're going to be
But if the guy works out, that's great. But I don't have the responsibility for making the job offer, and I don't get the flack if the person doesn't work out. They made the decision.
I just picture Animal running a pizza shop, and a guy comes in and he says, hey, I want to give me a large Supreme with everything on it. And Animal says, you don't want that. You want this sausage and pepperoni, and that's what you're going to take.
Yeah. No tip for
you.
You
know what? I wanted to leave this topic, but I'll give you some real-life examples. I might have talked about this a bit before. I remember I was working on a position for a company that they had a lumber mill up in northern Ontario.
20 years ago.
Yeah, okay. And the point is that we found an IT project manager, and this guy was soft-spoken from Sri Lanka. Great, nice guy, really nice, and he seemed very smart, and he did well in the interview. But instead, the project manager or the IT manager, who we placed there as well, he said, this guy's going to get eaten up alive by those tough lumber men. And he hired a guy who I said, don't hire him. I don't think he's that good. And you know what? That guy didn't work out. He should have hired the guy I recommended, and I should have insisted that I'm not going to work with him unless he hired the guy I recommended.
Is this a story where you turned out to be in the right animal?
Contrary to what Steve said, it didn't make me look good because he had to pay me for that lousy guy and ended up with nothing. It made me look bad. That these guys don't have a vision. They don't say I was wrong. They say the recruiter placed a lousy guy with me. If you let them hire somebody bad from you, it's not going to be good for you, okay?
Well,
what do you mean let them hire?
Another area that I can't take any responsibility for, and that's, you know, the rebate fees on candidates who leave. I just don't buy that.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got another story, but we'll move on. I want to hear your cold call and your business development strategy for when you were doing regular recruiting. I just think you might have something to teach us.
The cold call to candidates or to employers?
Yeah, do candidate first and then do to a client.
Well, if I'm calling the candidate out of the blue, you might think that candidates always, you know, they want to be referred to. So if I'm phoning the candidate out of the blue, even if I've looked up the name on LinkedIn or some job board or someone's told me about the candidate or I found them on an industry portal somewhere, then I'll always tell them that someone has referred me to them.
Why?
Hello. Because I've been told that this candidate is worth speaking to about this position. I'll find out what the situation is, and I'll get into the conversation. Now, it might go nowhere, but it's another contact, and you then develop it from there. So when you pitch to a candidate...
Okay, you're not saying anything except you said one thing.
Yeah, I don't have anything original. I'll give you that.
You did say something. I always say that they were referred to me. That's nonsense. Why do you have to lie? I consider that a problem. I wouldn't do it. You know.
Okay.
I say, I don't even have to tell them. I'm in the business of finding people. I found you, okay? Or, when you tell them, hey, your name's on the internet, they don't believe you. Or it doesn't make them happy or calm them down.
Yeah. I've been stalking you.
Unless you can say who referred them, somebody, your name came up. That's a baloney line I would never use in a million years. Oh, let me ask you, since we're almost out of time, one other question. So it said in your profile that you are very persuasive and very inspiring, and apparently...
The profile said it, but I never said it.
Oh, okay, the profile said it. The profile supposedly, you should back it up. You're going to be trying to make money off of it. And It said that it's the implied, at least, that your persuasiveness and your ability to inspire people comes because you're so enthusiastic. And I can see you block out all negatives and stay away from people who disagree with you. So you're like totally committed to whatever you're committed to. That's what it strikes me as. When you call a candidate cold calling, do you use that enthusiasm and say, hey, I got a great job for you, before you even really know the person like lots of recruiters do?
No, that doesn't work, especially in the UK. That absolutely doesn't work. It just sounds like flannel from the get-go. You can't do that.
Turns like flannel. We've never heard that before. I've never heard that saying. Okay,
but you get what it means.
I do. So last words, flannel in your mouth, in fact. But the last, you know what, let me thank you for coming on in place of negligent, inconsiderate person from England that he's a nice guy. I like him. But he shouldn't have done that. Thanks for coming on, though, and saving my bacon.
Anytime. I'll come back anytime.
Yeah, I'd like to have you back. Do you have any last words for this show before we're going to go to Jerry's show and you're not allowed to stay on it? Do you have any words for your audience out there?
Yes, listen to more AC/DC.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you!
Hello.
Am I the only one here? Animal?
There's a lot of people here, Jerry. Don't screw up. Your first week back.
I tell you, man, I'm not sure. I'm kind of freaking out a little bit, dude. I need some help. I've been away for a while. A lot of things. The internet changes so rapidly these days. I don't even know what's going on right now. Is that you, Maureen?
That's me.
Maureen, help me. Help me. I mean, how does this go? I just start asking questions or what?
Just show up, Aaron. Just show up.
Yeah,
but you haven't been doing
push back. I love that phrase, push back.
Push back.
It's the most ridiculous phrase I've ever heard. It should
you
be
have
strictly.
To push back, Jerry. No, you have to push back. Many times your customers
not.
Don't know what they need. You know
oh, really?
That. You
oh,
know
really?
That. Yeah, really.
When expectations are unrealistic, it's your job to set them straight. Come on, Jerry.
That's
no,
right.
It's not, man. No, it's not.
It is.
It's your job to decide whether you are going to commit to that manager to find what he wants or not. And
right,
the phrase push back
not,
is one
I
of the most absurd
like
terminologies being
Jerry.
Bandied about. It's absurd. Now, of course, as a good recruiter, I help refine what we're looking for. And I'll ask which parts of that could you live without. And on the sales guy that doesn't have a degree, I'm going to ask my customer, hey, what if I run into the perfect candidate who does all this stuff, but they don't have a degree? What should I do? Now, if you want to call that pushback, go ahead. In my opinion, there's no push involved. It's me trying to clarify, refine, and get a better understanding of the person that they're going to hire. And
yeah,
when Animal talks about it, Animal talks about how you're not going to find that guy, and here's what, you know, I would hang up on Animal because
well,
I would feel
Animal,
the I would feel him trying to badger
theory.
Me into a corner with this pushback and all this stuff and telling me what's going on. Who's chuckling?
Okay, Jerry. Some of this argument, like I said, is semantics.
It may be, but in our profession, all we have are the words that we choose to use. Words
and
convey meaning.
They push back.
And,
I mean, yeah.
And pushback is absurd.
We don't use that with the client.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if we're using it amongst
them,
ourselves,
on.
If you're pushing back, that's not something I want to be involved in.
Well, you don't use those words with the client, but you guide them.
That's not pushing back.
Well,
and
sure
I don't
it is.
Guide them either.
Well, that's really what we're
I am not going to tell a highly skilled technical person what goes with what or what somebody can or can't do.
You tell them what's happening out here in the real world because they may
what
not know.
What you've seen lately, yeah.
They don't know. They're not out here moving around, rubbing elbows. They don't know what's going on.
Okay, so give me an example, Maureen, of when we should... Is it push back or punch in the face back? What word do we use?
Well, why does that upset you so? You know,
what's face punch?
Why does it upset
you
so to disagree with someone, to say, you know, let's consider this scenario? Why does that, you know, get you so riled up?
It's what customers get sick of. They get tired of the recruiter who has never programmed anything, who has never been an engineer, who has never done any of this, telling them what's going on. They get tired of that.
What's
well,
going
you don't
on?
Back it up with anything.
You mean what's going on out in the world?
Yeah, you know, I tell you, one of my recruiters was emphatic for weeks that, hey, these people in Detroit, they're all making $110,000 a year. All of them. The customer's not going to give somebody for $85,000. This is not going to happen. They need to know that there aren't. Well, they hired somebody through another agency, $83,000 salary. Perfectly qualified person sitting across the street. So do I want to keep pushing back and telling them that you got to raise your salary, or am I going to go find that person that's ready for the $85,000 job? And my success comes from delivering what they want, rather than telling them how they need to change what they're looking for. And I appreciate your enthusiasm just getting into the profession. I think it's great, and I encourage you to try to
do all that you can to make these jobs easier to fill. I'm only going on, you know, I don't know. Oh,
God, Jerry.
Several years of experience.
Yeah. I got you. Okay. I hear you.
But don't think that I don't make sure that I walk away from every conversation with a customer with what they would hire. I never ask a customer what are the skills that they're looking for. My only conversation with them, other than about the company and the department and the project that they're working on, a salary, my only question is, what do you need them to be able to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do they really have to contribute when they get there? I don't ask them to email me a list of all their buzzwords or their HR write-up. And typically when you see the job position that HR has, it's just a list of the requirements. It doesn't even say what they're going to be doing. So I will go find someone who can do that and make a presentation. Was that okay with you, Maureen?
Yeah, that's okay with me.
Okay. Let's get to the show, okay?
Yeah, let's
because the show wasn't about pushback and arguing and badgering your customer. Reed, what did you think of the show today?
You know, I liked it. I have problems with what he was talking about early on, especially when he said, oh, yeah, everyone should, you know, put the name of their client on the job postings. And if they don't, I'm just going to call that agency and pretend to be a candidate and blah, 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 blah. I'll find out anyways. I don't appreciate that kind of stuff. I think it's deceitful. I think, you know, that kind of stuff is why recruiters get a bad name. So I'll give him a 55.
Ooh.
I'll take Animal for a 70. He was pretty average Animal today.
I think he said that he would call a company and get their customer's name when I had to go let the carpet cleaner guy in, who was supposed to be here at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, what he said was, you know, he was in an industry where he apparently had every job order anyways, and he would call other companies, pretend to be a candidate, maybe not get them to tell him the name, but get them to, you know, give him enough information so he could determine who it was, just so he could make sure he had that order. I don't agree with stuff like that. I think that's terrible. So that was my big sticking point with him, and I couldn't get over it for the rest of the show, to be honest with you.
Sounds like a lot of work to me.
Yeah. Maureen, what did you think of the show today?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't really ringing, didn't make my toe tap, but I'll give the guests, you know, a 75. I'll give Animal an 80.
Okay. Hey, on Twitter, Kelly wanted to know about the sugar snap peas. They were fantastic.
Today?
Awesome. I got to tell you, they are the sweetest. And last night we had, two nights ago, we had fresh lima beans from the garden.
We didn't put those in. Wow.
I love them. They were great. They were awesome.
Do you mix them with corn, make succotash?
No, actually we had them.
Ooh.
We had them with peas, and Nicole took them both out of the shells or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they were just the lima beans and the peas. Awesome.
You're still getting peas? Ours
yeah.
is giving up the ghost.
Really?
Huh.
Well, we sprinkle some extra love in the garden.
I guess. Did you plant some late?
No. They were just still out there when we got back from vacation.
Our corn's coming in like you can't believe. We've got the best crop of corn we've ever had.
Mm. Love it.
So when are you coming up?
Hey,
coming down?
I have sent the word to my sister that we are invited to go down there for a couple of days and enjoy Kings Island again. I have not heard back from her. That was 2 days ago I sent her a note.
All right. Well, the corn's in. I mean, it's really coming in.
You have just such a lovely garden, pool, backyard area. It's just so lovely. Just so lovely.
Well, come on down.
All right. Who else has a score? Any other callers? Animal says that there are always millions of people on the line, but it doesn't sound like it. Anybody? Anybody? Come on. Gosh. See, I came off of vacation for this.
See, I had to take myself off mute. Sorry about that.
There you go.
I'm here. Rebecca's here.
Hey, Rebecca, I need a score on the show.
I like the guest, 80, and Animal 80. I think it was a good show today.
Really?
Okay.
It
it brings up lots of points of discussion, and I think that's what the show needs to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Points of view.
The point. Fair.
What do you think about arguing and potentially belittling your customer on your first conversation with them?
Why do you say belittle?
I wait till about the third or fourth conversation to do that.
Okay.
There's a great guy on Twitter that says, it's not pushing back, Jerry. It's engaging with style and a left hook. His
there
name
you
is
go,
Thaddeus.
There you go.
I like that.
I
is that
love
a great
that.
Name or what? I'm going to follow
He's
him.
He's got
right
my
now.
Follow. I love that.
Who is that?
I'm following that guy.
Thad Figlock.
Thaddeus Figlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
T_Fig. You want to follow him.
If you really want the truly want to know the best way to, and if you have to use the phrase push back to your customer, it is through making a presentation of a candidate who can do the job, comma, however, doesn't have X, Y, or Z. But you want to, on the front end, start talking about what a customer needs to throw out as a requirement. You're just like the every other recruiter that called and every other recruiter that's going to call. You want to make a change, present a candidate that can do the job. And if your candidate can't do the job, then you shouldn't be making a presentation anyway. And if they can, then you should, always. That's my final statement on the matter.
Well,
make
it's your
a presentation.
Show. It's your show. We'll let you have the last word.
But now you have to admit that I'm right and that I won.
That's another subject.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We'll leave that for another animal show.
Any other callers in on the line? Anybody? I think everybody's on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
The parking lot was pretty empty at our building this morning. I'd say that's probably true.
It's vacation time of the year, really.
Well, we should have that conversation next week about the summer slows. Is it a myth or is it a reality?
Right.
It's a myth.
And who can you argue with about it to prove your point?
Yeah, right.
Hey,
I
have a question about the summer holiday. Did people find that their clients and candidates went on holiday and shut their phones off this year, unlike other years?
Clients, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
as much, but clients more than, clients more than they have in the past.
Did you guys ever see that Seinfeld where, I think it was George's girlfriend or whoever was out of town, but he kept leaving messages because he didn't know that she was out of town. And his first one was, hey, give me a call to see what's up. The next day it's like, hey, I haven't heard from you. What's going on? And then the next one was like, hey, I realized that, you know, and it just kept building and building to where finally at the end he was just like going off on her. And then she called to say, hey, I'm going to be back in town. And him and Jerry had to scramble over there to steal the tape in the answering machine. No one saw that?
No.
Okay. Kind of happened to me last week with a customer. He finally called me back and said he had told me he was going to be on vacation last week, which I guess he did, and I forgot. But
you were on
like,
vacation.
Hey, if you can't give me feedback, then I'm done.
I thought you were on vacation. You were working while you were on vacation.
Good
for you.
Stuff keeps rolling all the time.
Okay, good.
It never stops.
Proud
the wheels
of
industry and commerce.
That's right.
You know it. All right, everybody. Nice to catch up with everybody, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.
See you later.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.